Well, here's a familiar voice we all know and love. Today, my guest is Charles Horak, and we're checking in to learn more about our ever-changing film industry. I know you and I had a talk early pandemic. I don't know. How far deep are we?
When
into
was
this
that?
Thing?
Was that 6 years ago?
I don't know.
How are you doing, Marina? We're both holed up at our houses recording.
That's exactly how I'm doing. But you know what? Not giving up on recording this show during the pandemic has taught me a lot. I mean, number one, that I can do it. And then number two, people are still creating. People are still doing. Things are happening. And I think it's just the nature of being a creative person.
Thank you for continuing the show. You could just be doing re-airs and things like that, but you're right. In this time, it's so important that we continue to spotlight the arts organizations in our community that have to survive this.
Right.
And rely often on communal gathering of performances or screenings to do their art. And it's very tough. And we need to make sure those organizations make it to the other side.
Absolutely. And that's just exactly it. You know, if we can be one little morsel of that and have some little piece of like encouraging them and letting people know what folks are up to, why not?
I wish I had a great deal of hope for the film industry itself, because I think there is a lot. If you were to design a business model that was the least pandemic proof, it would be the theatrical model for watching movies. To put hundreds of people in a room for several hours at a time, sharing that wonderful experience of watching a movie is also probably the worst environment when it comes to spreading COVID.
You are correct.
And our theaters and our production and distribution companies and the economies that are built around those and the jobs, I frankly not sure. You know, in the early days when we first talked, I think this was back in March maybe, about what might be coming and what people could be watching for development wise. Here we are 8 months later, and there are movie theaters open. A lot of them are closing. Most of them have absolutely no Hollywood product to show. So they're relying on repertory classic titles and indie films. But frankly, most people are also not comfortable going out to theaters, even though they're open. So Hollywood is not putting out those titles that they keep pushing back and pushing back. And we are already in the midst of a paradigm shift with the threats from streaming and people staying home. And the window between theatrical release and streaming release is getting narrower and narrower. And theaters, by and large, which have nothing to do with the economies of Hollywood, theater owners were really getting pinched. And the COVID pandemic has really accelerated the paradigm shift that was coming for theaters. And I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm really worried that our ability to watch movies together in a communal atmosphere, which is to me the heart of cinema, is just sharing that experience. There's nothing like it. The immersiveness of watching in a theater with the giant screen and sound. I think for a lot of types of films, we are on the brink of losing that entirely.
And then what does that do to like the Oscars? I go to an Oscars party every single year, and it's part of my life, and it's part of the routine of just living.
Everything is in flux. We should already be in the midst of the huge award season blitz. As you know, I'm a voting member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and our Critics' Choice Awards, which are the first televised award show, usually happen the first week of January. Those have been pushed back to March. The Oscars finally came out and said that the Oscar show, which has been pushed up in recent years to late February, is now pushed back to April 25th. The bigger question is, what films are going to be spotlit in these awards seasons? We may have to go back to a model like the early Oscars. I think it was the first two Academy Awards ceremonies celebrated 2 years together. So like 1929, 1930. And we may go back to that. We may have a combined Oscars if things keep pushing back and pushing back that actually happens in early 2022 that celebrates all the films of 2020 and 2021.
Do you think it would open up an opportunity for indie films since those seem to still kind of keep moving? Ah, Chuck Horak, I'm trying to look for a glimmer of hope here.
I do wish, but indie films are really struggling too, because the distribution side of the business, which most people don't have any insights into. It's a murky backwater. But without the distribution side of the business cranking along, indie films can't get out either. And indie films particularly are really challenged by an environment that has no film festivals, which are usually the venues that's champion these early films and these lower budget films and these emerging talents. And all of that has virtually dried up as well. So the pipeline for films is dried up. Hollywood is obviously sitting on a huge number of films that were to be their bread and butter this year in the summer, in the holiday season. And as you know, and most people know, those release dates just keep putting pushback and pushback. Right. And everybody was betting on Tenet, the Christopher Nolan film. Yeah. And they finally released it, and they thought this would finally bring people back to theaters in droves, and then the fall we could get films out again. And it did not do well. Obviously, the psychological impact of COVID, the isolation, people's fears of contracting the disease are keeping them away as well. So I don't know. You know, if you think about the theatrical side of the business model, which to me is the heart of cinema, because it's how historically we viewed films together in large crowds in darkened rooms. That is a business model that is low margin and extremely high debt. It's a business model that requires that pipeline to keep pushing films in. So we're seeing bankruptcies, we're seeing smaller chains, regional chains closing for good. AMC, the giant in the US, has said that probably by December it will run out of cash. Most people project it will file bankruptcy. Wow. You know, you're talking about thousands and thousands of screens going dark, or at least being in receivership at that point. And then it's everyone's guess how that works out. And obviously we're nowhere near the end of the pandemic. We are in the worst of it right now.
But then I see like these like little production bubbles of folks working, and I don't know if it's like reality shows that can maybe do that easier, or are films doing that, or is that a thing?
Maybe this is the silver lining, is I can see a future where there is much less reliance on the huge tentpole films because the theatrical environment is decimated. And so studios may finally go into a period where they no longer bet on several $200 million a year films, but bet on 20, $10 million films. I think there may be opportunities at the lower end to rebuild the kinds of films we used to have being made, along with the big budget films in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Which are all but gone now. These would be character-driven, more mature films that still have stars in them, but they're made for under $40 million. So that market may come back because it requires smaller casts, smaller crews. The crew size, once we get back to production, is going to blow up because of all the safety personnel and medical personnel, mm-hmm. and just the risk of getting shut down. The few films that have tried to start production again, they'll work for a few weeks, and then somebody gets tested positive, and the production gets shut down for a few weeks. And it basically requires the cast and crew to almost be living together in a bubble to pull that off. So it's a lot of mechanics to make that work and a lot of expense.
We're all staying at home. I've watched, I think, everything on Netflix. At this point, I'm going into other languages. I'm digging around. And there's a lot of good content on there, but do you think they have enough content?
You're right. The streaming platforms have not slowed down. The Netflixes and Amazons and Apple and Hulus of the world, and now we have HBO Max and Disney Plus. They have been on buying binges, grabbing everything they can that's already produced and finished. If this pandemic goes on much longer, another 6 months, another 12 months, and productions have struggled to get up and running again, we could see a shortage of new content on those platforms. But right now, they have a lot of material. They are trying and testing ways of getting back to production. And just a little insight from my friends in LA that I talked to, Netflix particularly has been on a buying binge, not for productions, but for animators. They have been staffing up and sucking up most of the animators in Hollywood, betting on the idea that animation is a genre that can largely be done, they think, remotely, where they
without
link
people.
A bunch of animators working from their silos on the same projects. That'll be interesting to see if in the next 6 months we start seeing a huge amount of animation coming out of Netflix, since they've been staffing up quite a bit with animators.
It's a smart move.
I mean, do you remember the last thing you saw in a theater? To me, it seems like a decade ago, but it was just March.
What was the last movie I saw in a theater? I seriously cannot remember. I'm going to have to ask Paul, but I cannot remember what the last movie I saw in the theater was. How about you? I mean, you probably remember. You're a movie guy.
I think it was The Invisible Man, the new adaptation, or the very modern Invisible Man, which Elizabeth Moss plays in, which I liked a lot. A nice little genre film, quite creepy, very modern. I think that was it. I think that was late February, early March, and then I pretty much went into a cave and have been holed up. I've been watching some classic films. They seem to be the only type of film, particularly 30s comedies and musicals, that will get me out of my head and fully engage with a film. Movies used to be the way that I could put my troubles aside and just fully immerse in something for 2 hours. And I've found that pretty hard during this pandemic to fully let go the way I usually do with movies.
Okay, but for the rest of us that at some point need to let go, can you just give us a list like, hey, now that you're stuck at home and you should have had all these classics under your belt, what's the top five that anybody who watches movies should watch? And I know that's got to be hard for someone like you who like loves them all, but like if you can name five movies that we can all,
You mean classics or just any movies?
whatever. I mean, you're the
You want
movie
total
guy.
distraction? Well,
Yes.
I have to admit, last night, we're recording this on election day, but last night, my wife and I were in such a state of, I think we've all been living with a great deal of anxiety, both from COVID, but also the election cycle and wondering how the election would turn out. We just needed something to totally unwind with, and we hit Ocean's 13, the Steven Soderbergh film,
Yes.
which goes at a heartbreak pace and it doesn't let up. It's gorgeous to look at the color saturation he uses in that film. Of course, it's got A-list beautiful men like George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Talk about good distractions. Okay, four more. You gave
Well,
us Ocean's
my
13.
wife and I are also slowly working our way through a box set of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Oh, just the whole dang thing.
That's right. They made eight films together and they're marvelous right from the get-go, even the first film, Flying Down to Rio, where they were second billed, but they became so popular out of that film that from there on, the next seven films they made together, they were the stars. And just the gracefulness of their movements, the way they interact with one another, they're like variety shows. There's comedy, there's singing, there's dancing, there's just a little bit of everything. And it has been a really nice, easy way to unwind is to go through theirs. I would say Citizen Kane is not a film I would normally just throw out to say, hey, go immerse, distract yourself with that. And it's not the sort of film you just unwind to.
Right. It's a different kind of wind up.
It's a very difficult, important film. But I mention it simply because one of the things I'm really looking forward to this fall is that Netflix, the last few years, they've thrown some serious money at some really important filmmakers and let them do whatever they want. And their next big prestigious production that's rolling out is called Mank. And it's by the great director David Fincher. And it's a period piece about the screenwriter and producer Herman Mankiewicz, who was the co-writer with Orson Welles for Citizen Kane. And so there's a lot of Kane lore built into that film, but a real great insights into late 30s, early 40s Hollywood. And it should be just gorgeous to look at because all of Fincher's films are.
Okay, one more for people that have kids.
Well, Thunderbirds, if you've got young kids. This was a crazy British show from the 60s that was all done with marionettes and miniature models. And it's fascinating. You can't take your eyes off of it. It's kind of got a sci-fi adventure-y. It's about a family of adventurers who have these remarkable rocket ships and submarines and things called International Rescue. And they go around rescuing people and fighting spies. And so I always suggest that to people have never heard about that show, but it'll blow your kids' minds if you check it out.
So there you have it. We put Chuck Cork on the spot and he delivered. Thank you, Chuck, for giving us the doom and gloom of the film industry, but
Let's
also
hope not.
bringing us back up.
Changes are coming. Changes are coming.
We'll just check in, pandemic wave 3 or 4. I don't know. We'll stay on it.
2021 summer, hopefully. We'll be
Very
back in
cool.
theaters.
Well, thank you, Chuck Horak. We'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Marina.